Today on Real Radio.
Before you think for a moment that just because something has a steeple on it or a cross on it or a pulpit or a sanctuary or even the name church, don't think for a moment that in the eyes of God it's a church. That's a strong thing. I probably just lost some of you right now with what I just said.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Verses 49 and 50 of chapter 9 are a short paragraph in the text that tell us of one casting out demons in the name of Jesus. Well, some of Messiah's disciples didn't like this and told him to stop. Why? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
This is a message coming from the words of Jesus that is hard to give. It's hard to give, church, because listen, this is not a feel-good, warm, fuzzy thing. It is a strong word that Jesus gives because it applies to us so much today. When I say us, and you're going to hear me use that address, us or we, I am talking about this morning the church universal. The church in the earth, all those who call upon the Lord Jesus Christ in truth, those who are born again, says the Bible, even those who are religious, claim to know God, claim to even know Jesus, but frankly, in their conduct and life would have nothing to do with them, all the way to those gatherings, even what we would call a church, that is anything but a church. And so this morning is going to be a strong thing because it's going to challenge our thinking and Look, the title of the message is this: The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. How does that get you this morning? The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I'm not talking about any one of us this morning, exactly. We're talking about churches. Churches. And people who make them churches. So this is a strong thing. This is a heart-searching thing. And that's exactly what Jesus was intending to do when he says what he says to the disciples. It will shake them. And it will shake us today. Listen, church, before you think for a moment that just because something has a steeple on it or a cross on it or a pulpit or a sanctuary or even the name church, don't think for a moment that in the eyes of God it's a church. That's a strong thing. I probably just lost some of you right now with what I just said. You mean isn't everything a church that says it's a church? No. God makes it very clear. Very clear indeed. Just because man declares something as a church doesn't mean it necessarily has the approval of God. And so this is a very, very serious thing. Acts chapter 9, two gigantic verses this morning. It's all we can handle. Verses 49 to 50. Now John answered and said, that is to Jesus, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow with us. But Jesus said to him, do not forbid him, for he that is not against us is for us. Interesting word, because it came right on the challenge that Jesus gave to the disciples last week in verse 48. You can't separate really verse 48 from these next two verses. Do you remember the study last time? Jesus told them that unless they wanted to enter the kingdom of heaven, they would have to become like a child again. They would have to become simple and trusting and faithful to the Lord. And Luke 9:48, it says that he said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you will be great. And that address, that statement Jesus gave to the disciples, because remember, they were bickering and arguing about greatness, about which of them would be the greatest. And we remembered that each of their arguments presented was in their own defense. It meant that Peter argued why he, Peter, should be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. John had his argument as to why John should be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And they argued about this. And Jesus said, no, you've got to become like a child to enter the kingdom of God. And we saw in detail that becoming like a child is equal to or parallel to that statement that Jesus gave to Nicodemus, that you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. If you are born from above or born again, what you and I will experience in our lives is a childlikeness in trust toward God. And Jesus says, this is how one enters the kingdom of heaven. But today, right now, we look to the attitude of ministry and what is called church, a little bit of introduction. The ministry, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's kind of sterile. You look up the word ministry and it means a profession in the services of religious duty. Someone who is a professional religionist in service. The ministry. And that's unfortunate because that's not how the Bible defines ministry. Do you know this? I don't know if you know this or not, but do you know that Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, that there is a whole host of people that you don't even know their names that service this church? They're volunteers. They're going around checking that the weeds are cleared out of the flower beds. They've got blowers, you know, blowing the leaves away. They're cleaning the windows. These people are not paid. These people are you. These people are servants. These people are ministers. And often on Sunday mornings, they're doing it in the dark, early before church begins, and they are serving the Lord. They're not professionals, but listen, church wouldn't be church without them because they're so vitally needed. The children's ministry. Listen, your little ones right now, though they may not sleep, or some do sleep, they all will be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, their diaper will be taken off and a new one put on. Who does that? People who are paid? No, people who come to serve the Lord. Ministers. So it's not, as the dictionary says, ministers are those who are paid. The body of Christ is a ministering body, one to another. But before we get too far into this, by way of background, it says here that John said to Jesus, we forbade this one who was ministering in your name. We forbade him. We made him stop. That word means that they stopped him. They made him be quiet. They prevented him from serving. This sets up the direction in which we're going. The good and the bad and the ugly, how does that translate? Here are the ministers of Jesus being taught by Jesus, and at some point in time when Jesus was not with them, John confesses, Lord, we saw some guy ministering in your name, doing good stuff. He was really kind of just like us, but he wasn't with us. So do you know what we did, Jesus? We forbade him. You what? We forbade him. We made him quit, we made him be quiet, and we stopped him from serving. Jesus said, what'd you do that for? He's serving with us. He's building the kingdom. And John says, well, we did this because he was not of us. He was not with us. And that is very important to where we're going. Church, listen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says, for he himself is our peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made both one. And the context of Ephesians, it is Jew and Gentile. Now, if you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. Is anyone outside that address? No, if you're a Jew, you're a Jew. If you're Gentile, you're everything else. The Bible says here in Ephesians that the Lord Jesus has brought us together, Jew and Gentile alike, and he has broken down the middle wall of separation. Church, listen. If God is so powerful in salvation to cause black man to love white man to love red man, yellow man to love green man. I mean, all of it. Is not God great and awesome? Should there never be any division in the body of Christ? It should never be that way. Why is there division in the body of Christ? Because of carnality. Jesus is against that. And we're going to be looking at the tape, and I tell you right now, it is going to in a good way, offend each and every one of us, including myself. But I want you to just sit in your chair, listen carefully, and see what God would speak to us today. Point number one is this, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It is this, what makes a church good? Can you write that down? This is very, very important. What makes a church good? What makes a church worth attending? Why would you go? Well, look at, number one is this, what makes a church good is that when the body is alive, when the body is alive, when John said to Jesus that we stopped this one who we saw, He's actually putting the brakes on a good work. Why would we do that when what Jesus is saying is that this man, though the disciples didn't know his name, this man was doing a good work. This man was alive. This man was serving. No doubt, of course, the disciples were serving Christ. But listen, this is a critical thing because a church is not a building. A church is not an address. This structure is simply a building. It is concrete, it is glass, it is steel. You and I make up what this church is. It will either be good, bad, or ugly. And one of the things is this: to determine if it is a good church, you walk into a church, any church, anywhere in the world, and listen, it has got to be alive. A good church is a living church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 says this: "And God the Father put all things under his feet," Jesus' feet, "and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." That is a strong statement, Ephesians 1:22. Church, Calvary Chapel, what the Lord is announcing is that if a church is alive, it's where Jesus Christ is at. Why? Because is not Jesus alive? Okay, for the two of us who know that, I'm going to ask it again. Is Jesus Christ alive?
Yes.
Shouldn't the church then, who claims to know him, be alive?
Yes.
I'm glad you didn't need any prompting on that. It's beautiful. Where Jesus is, there should be life. Didn't he raise people from the dead? Yes. When he's in a church, when he's welcome in a church, should not that church be alive? Shouldn't you be able to know it? Shouldn't you be able to feel it? Absolutely. A church will be alive. How do you know? Take its pulse. Hey, when you go to the doctor, wait, if they check your pulse and you go to the doctor, you're worse off than I thought, because I think they check your pulse when they think if you're alive or dead, don't they? I mean, blood pressure, yeah, and all that kind of stuff, but check his pulse. Why do people say that? See if it's alive. Check its pulse. When you check the pulse of a church, keep this in mind. You might want to jot this down. I think it's important. How do you know if a church is alive? It'll be in love with Jesus. It will be in love with the Lord. You know what? Some people, it drives people, other people crazy when they're not walking with Jesus too close. You come up to people who are in love with Jesus and all they can talk about is Jesus. And all he talks about is Jesus. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, that's a little too much. Well, you know what? Why don't you find out why that person is so hot in love with Jesus? Maybe Jesus caused them in a way to be one risen from the dead, huh? Maybe Jesus delivered them from alcoholism or violence or whatever. If Jesus Christ is alive and well in your life personally, and you get enough of those people together, just a few of them, it just takes a few. They are contagious, they are hot, they are burning in love with Jesus Christ, and guess what happens? The church grows. Things begin to happen. They'll be in love with Jesus. 1 John 4:19. Am I yelling at you? I'm excited, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I'm excited. Let's keep reading. 1 John 4:19. It says there that we love him because he first loved us. Do you know how good that is? Hey, does anybody love you? I'm not sure. Well, this you can be sure of. God loves you. And here's the great thing. We can say, oh, Lord, I love you so much. You know why that's true? Because he loved you first. Man, he's good. He pulls us in. Often I think about my life before Jesus, and I think about the close calls. I think about one night going down some street in Orange County and a big Suburban blowing an intersection, going right by our bumpers. We were going across the intersection. The guy flew by us, and we're so young and dumb. You know when you're young, you're usually dumb. Oh, man, whoa, that was so close. That was so close, man. See how close I was? Translated now that I'm older and a Christian, stressed Christian. Do you know how close we were to dying and going straight to hell? Do you know how close I was from slipping into eternity without Christ? No, man, when you're young and dumb, or when you can be old and dumb without Jesus. Oh, man, we had a great time. Oh, we almost crashed. Where would you have gone? In eternity, where? Last night, this church was called to the hospital because in a moment, 55-year-old woman, in a moment, drops dead. You don't know. Are you in love with Jesus? Can you check? Can I check my heart right now and say, you know what? I'm alive. I'm in love with Jesus. That's the criteria. You can be alive and not know Jesus, and the Bible says of you that you're not even living. You say, how can you say that? I'm sitting here, aren't I? The Bible does not say that that is living. And then there's fellowship. It's a fellowship that is with other people. If Jesus Christ is in your life and he's hot in your heart and you love him, it's going to also translate to fellowship. Galatians 3:26. Galatians 3:26 says, if you are all sons of God, or for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many as were baptized into Christ, that is not in the water, but into his person, you have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Listen, the fellowship, if Jesus Christ is alive in you, if a church is a church that is a good church to be in, it is a church like this. It is a church that loves Jesus Christ preeminently, and it fellowships with God's people. And that's very important, because you want to ask this question, who's God's people? And this is the great challenge. Didn't John say, we saw one ministering in your name? That means that whoever this guy was, he was preaching and doing godly work in the name of Jesus Christ, and the word implies not a false Jesus, not a conjured up Jesus, the Jesus that you and I know from the Bible. This is a good guy. We don't know him. We don't know his name, but he's a good guy. Jesus supports this man's ministry. But what church did he go to? Was he a Lutheran? Because if he's not a Lutheran, I'm not going to talk to him. Well, if he's not a Baptist, I'm not going to talk to him. Is he in our denomination? Oh, if he doesn't go to Calvary Chapel, I'm not going to talk to him. You see how carnal these things are? Do you see how this morning, church, ushers, lock the doors? This morning, if we are a people, a Christian, who says, I don't fellowship with the Baptist or the Calvary Chapel or the Lutheran or the Methodist. I can't go feed the hungry because Lutherans and you see what I'm saying? You know how wrong that is? Do we not have peripheral issues that we disagree on? Uh-huh. Who cares? Who cares? Do we not agree fully on the essentials of Christianity? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead? Do you believe that you're saved by faith in him alone? Do you believe in those essentials of Christianity that are listed in Scripture? Yes, the divisions have come of denominationals because of peripheral issues, and that's unfortunate. It's man's desires who have led to the division of the body of Christ. But is Christ divided? No. I think the church will be shocked in heaven when you and I will meet up with people that we thought, maybe, how did they ever get here? Guess what? They're going to be saying of us, how did they get here? I think God's going to blow our minds. Absolutely. This is vital. Fellowship. We need to break down those walls of division. Christ did, so why not go over there and blow them over with just a breath of air, huh? Well, how come this church, this denomination doesn't fellowship with that denomination, and it's all clicked up in the little groups? And I believe that offends the heart of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Are you offended yet, anybody? Because here we go. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to the church. Man, that's a good day. And they continued steadfast in the apostles. Here it is. Doctrine and what? Fellowship. And in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That is awesome. Praying, breaking of bread, being common with each other, fellowship, and biblical doctrine. 1 John chapter 1, 1 John 1 verse 6 announces to us, if we say that we have fellowship with him, the Lord, and walk in darkness, we lie and the truth against the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And then the third thing under this is compassion. If a church is healthy and strong and loving on God, and it's a good church, it's going to be a compassionate church, towards those in need. Jesus said in Mark 14:7, the poor you will have with you always. He was announcing to the believers, listen, always, always be sensitive to the poor. The Old Testament is full of verses that encourage us to minister to the poor and take care of the poor. In 1 John 3:17, the Bible says, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how can the love of God dwell within you? Isn't that a strong word? This is pure Bible. Oh, I'm a Christian, praise the Lord, but I'm not going to talk to the Baptist. I'm not going to serve with the Calvary Chapel people. And you know what? Look at that guy. Look at that poor guy in the church over there, one of our brethren. You know what? That guy should be ashamed of himself. You know what? Here's an eye-opener. In every church that I have ever heard of, and churches that my friends pastor in their communities, every church from Palos Verdes, you think there'd be a person hurting in Palos Verdes? They can buy anything they want. In Palos Verdes, there are people in churches who are in need. You want to know why? Jesus makes sure he sends those people, precious people, to any and every church, the poor you will have with you always. Why? Number one is to test our hearts. Are they Christ-like? Will we love them? Will we bless them? And how about this? Is there any way that we can get together and pull them up out of their situation and put them on a course? A lot of people are down and out because they just need a break. They need love. They need grace. Well, let God give it. He's trying to give it. He tries to give it through you and I. Now, remember, I'm not saying you or I. I'm saying us in the church worldwide. This is a big deal. Does your church minister compassionately to those in need? Also this is a second thought under these. And by the way, I could see how this morning's message could be confusing because I got tons of points, but just follow the board. Follow the screens. It'll help you out. What makes a church good? Number two is this. When the soul is engaged, when the soul of that church is engaged. If you look into its eyes, you've already taken its pulse, but if you look into its eyes, there's somebody there. There's a passion for holy living in a church where Jesus is alive. And I want to make this very clear. When I say holy living, that is a requirement of God. But please don't think that holy living looks like we sucked on lemons, we sit in the corner dressed in black, and we just hum. That's not what holy living means. I think we'd be shocked if we really saw and realized holy living. Holy living means separated living to God and what God does. It doesn't mean we climb up in some tower and sing hymns all day. It means you get down from the tower, you get out into the streets, and you bless people. Holy living's radical.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. A look at Luke chapter 9 and verses 49 and 50, part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we're still offering Pastor Jack's DVD series called Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word. Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word. It's also taken from an earlier portion of Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and a valuable tool for sharing our faith as well as for our own personal review. Here's our offer. We'll send it out to you for your contribution to Real Radio of any amount. Just ask for it by title, Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word, on DVD. There's more than one way to get in touch. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in your tax-deductible contribution, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.